Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations, the radio show, is dedicated to empowering its listeners spiritually, emotionally, socially, and financially. The radio show provides the platform for the stimulation of thoughts, conversations, and ways of being that allow listeners to explore and examine what it is they believe and decide whether what they believe is keeping them stuck and disempowered or empowering them to live their best life.
Hi, this is Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source. You're listening to Ask Life Coach Ade on LifeConversationsRadio.com. Many blessings to you.
Many blessings to you. Yes, we did a house of love, a house of transformation, a house of healing. We are here to support you on your transformation journey, and we want to know, do black men have the moral authority to speak on black woman's beauty? What? We'll see. But before we start, so that we can get to a place of healing and recognize who we really are, then when we recognize who we really are, we can have a better answer. So we don't want to get it all twisted, all confused. So I think we need a little bit of a reminder, because we're going to go deep. We're going to talk about things that people just swear by. Some people are married to their opinion, don't want to shift. Well, today, we're just going to dissolve all the illusions. We're going to dissolve all the illusions, the old way of being, because it's time for transformation. The moon is shining on your consciousness. It's time to say yes. Carly, remind us.
I am great. I am wonderful. I am whole. I am peace. I am here. I am strong. I'm free. Well, I'm the delight of God. I am you. I am healed. I am love. I am great. I am wonderful. I am whole. And I am free.
Yes, indeed, I am. We are. And we are going to slide from spirit dancers, because we are spirit dancers. We want to stand for change, as I've been instructed to. Yes, you are listening to the Ask Life Coach Ade radio show. And we welcome you to yourself, to your transformation. And we are part of this global community, a community of transformation. And we all need each other. And we're going to talk more about today's topic. The question really is, Do black men have the moral authority to speak on black woman's beauty? Wow, really? Is that a real question? You know that I get to me soon, and I'm getting to get ready to a new space. Where is it? Okay. So Beth gave me an instruction in the last minute. So she threw me off. I had it all planned. Come on, man. Take responsibility for yourself and stop blaming Celeste. Anyway. The number is 347-426-3346. Feel free to call and share your thoughts. We welcome your thoughts. We welcome your questions, your doubt, your disagreement, your belief. You know, whatever you believe in, share it. But we want you to know that when you do come here, you're going to shift in consciousness, because that's the intention. We've set the intention for you to shift in consciousness, and that you may love yourself in a different way. And when you love yourself differently, it's easy to love the other, because the love within you is an extension of how you see the world. The love within you this colors your view of the world. It's time to dissolve all the self-hate. The theme for the month is nothing matters and everything does.
Washed away all my fears, and she made me by yourself. No, you don't. God is holding you.
Yes, Nikki has declaring, praying, affirming the truth that we are all changed from the within, because that's the place change is to happen, not on the magazines, not news media. If the change is not happening inside of you, we ain't going to see it on the outside. As a matter of fact, what we see today is a reflection of the consciousness of humanity. So while you're blaming, judging, criticizing, or just struggling with the problem, understand that you are the solution to the problem. That's why you see it. Nikki Harris, Change. And she's singing with the Agape Choir. Nikki Harris is just, oh my God. She's born to do a lot of things, but singing is definitely on top of the, is the right at the top. Change, that's what we're standing for. That's what we are. That's what we're about. We are change agents. So when we don't surrender to it, we get very upset that something is not being done. But before we go deep, we're not ready for that yet. We want to just lay a nice foundation, especially, you know, for those who are listening for the first time. We don't want to scare them away. Good afternoon, good evening, good night, good morning, good day to you, wherever you may be at this very moment in time. Thank you, thank you, thank you for tuning in to Life Conversations Radio, where change begins, change is inspired, and when you catch the change that is taking place, when you embrace it, when you just allow it, you can't help but make a difference in your life and other people. Welcome home. You are listening to the Ask Today Radio. The I Am deeply expressed as your coach Ade, and I'm here to be of service to just transform consciousness. And most importantly, I am here to serve you. Soul food for your consciousness. Thank you all those of you listening online, those of you in the archive on the phone line, we welcome you. Thank you all for being here. And of course, those of you listening on the archive, always, always great. Okay, now, can't deal with this. Getting some TDs going on, but let's work around that. Always great to have you, and we want to welcome our Within Radio listeners as well. Thank you very much. If you don't know, you will know sooner or later when I tell you that today we are asking your questions. We're asking you one question. Well, the general question is, do black men have the moral to speak on black women's beauty? Or should they just shut up because they have no say-so? Well, one sister does. He thinks men should just be quiet and don't say. Okay, well, I'm going to try something different here.
Okay, so let's try this for now. But we'll talk more about, let me just lay a foundation here. The idea is not to bash anybody. We don't do that over here. We shine the light and look for areas where we need to grow. And for those of you who've seen the link or the HuffPost Live show, you know what I'm talking about. I'm going to play some of the clips, not all of it. Well, I've got two clips I'm going to play. But really, this show, the intention is about going deeper and inviting us individually to look at areas of our lives where we are in pain, where we are being judgmental. So, yeah, there's more to come. To find out more about Agape Choir, agapelive.com, agapelive.com. So now, there is more to be said. And I'm going to keep this moving. So let me bring on Celeste find out. We have this going on and that going on. I see Neil J's Jackie. Nisi is in the house. Ah, Electra is in the house. Celeste is in the house. Yvette is in the house. And we have silent listeners disguised as guests. Thank you all for being here. Let's see, let me bring on Celeste because we're going to move fast. We have four people joining us to answer this question. And let's go here. Wait a minute. Okay.
You found me. Hi, friend. How are you?
I am good. I am excited about this conversation. You know, I've been thinking about it for weeks. Gone through, I don't know if I want to do this. Why, you know, just too much. But we'll talk more about that.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Preparing the show with you and Yvette and all the information. I mean, this show was in the works before we heard about Karen Washington committing suicide, who was the creator for... Hello, my darling. My cat.
Did she just say, did your cat just go, oh, man? That's what it sounded like.
I know. She's really talkative today. Bless her heart. I don't know if it's that full moon lunar eclipse energy still running. Hope everybody's doing well with that. But I just wanted to note that I just feel like the show was in divine order to offer some healing because she was definitely a pioneer and an advocate for celebrating all the hues of African-American women. And so while my heart is heavy, I'm also so grateful that at the age of 22, that girl put her mark out there. She's left such a beautiful legacy. That's what I'm holding on to today. And also thinking about grief and how we express it and how we need community. Because I understand that a lot of her adjusting in life had to do with grief issues as well. And I know what that's like personally, so... You know, Godspeed where she is, and her light is still shining.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. Yes, it is, you know, depression, grief, and, you know, life can't, you know, I always say life is not for wimps, and it's for gladiators. And that's really one of the main reasons I want to do this show. And even the conversation, when the more research I did and went online and YouTube and all these videos, the conversation around the topic, which I didn't actually quite catch until later on, it's like, oh, my God, we got to break away. We got to grow. A change, you know, we're talking about change. Change is growth. You must grow. So when we even say we're afraid of growth or change is not going to happen until, that's not true. Change is always happening. It's happening as we speak. Plants are growing, trees, you know, the flowers are budding. Everything is happening right now. And that's why I'm so grateful for the panelists that we have, Monique, Charlie, Kasembe, and another special guest. We won't tell them who that is yet because, you know, she's a busy woman. She's like up there rubbing shoulders with some great radio announcers. And she might not want to show up today because we heard she's got a little bit of diva in her. But I hope she can...
Like, who is this woman you're talking about?
I can't tell you now. I can't tell you. But you'll find out during the announcement. I think she's going to be here. She said she's going to be here. I can count on her. Yeah, she always shows up.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So let's keep the show moving. And let's do a quick announcement. And then you know, our guests will be here and we'll be ready to continue. So... Thank you, Celeste, and make sure all the guests are here, especially the diva one. Make sure she's here. And she has a lot to say, too. Yeah. It was kind of challenging. It was hard to convince her to be. She was like, well, I don't know. I got a contract that I have to sign tomorrow. It's $2.5 million, and I don't know if I can do a radio show. But, you know, I like you, so let me think about it.
UMS, let me save you from yourself right now. Hello, beautiful people. So nice to have you with us on a really special episode of the Ask Life Coach Today radio show. We're going to the heart today. And then tomorrow, Life Coach today will be flying solo for swimming through the deep end of life. Join him for a conversation that will awaken the strength inside of you to navigate the deep waters. And don't forget to check out the Bridging the Gender Gap teleseries, which is about developing trust and understanding between men and women, with co-hosts Cynthia James and Carl Stutna and other amazing experts. If you missed them yesterday, please check them out in the archive. It was such an amazing show. The teleconference or teleseries will be on Sunday, June 15th at 8 p.m. Eastern. So to get your free ticket to the Bridging the Gender Gap teleseries, visit bridgingthegaptelesummit.com/ade, A-D-E. Again, that's bridgingthegaptelesummit.com/ade to get more information about that. Also, don't forget to join us on Saturday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern. We have the Sounds of Soul with Ade Anisa Wilshere party still going on. There'll be a link in Facebook and also a link to get to the chat room so you can party with us. We have a wonderful time communing over there. And I want to give you a special note that this is the last week where the Ask Life Coach a Day radio show will air 3 days a week. Life Coach a Day will be taking a well-deserved vacation next week. Then he will return on Monday, April 28th. And from that day on, the show will air every Monday at 12 p.m. Eastern until 2 p.m. Eastern. But look, don't despair. There are amazing shows for you in the archives if you should have a day withdrawal. So make sure you tune in to these powerful shows and events, because when you tune in, you get to be the change you want to see.
That's right. We want you to be the change you want to see. That's what today's conversation is about. Our guests are here, panelists, people who I love and appreciate. I love their wisdom. And, you know, I just need some backup, because I didn't want to take this all by myself. So you are listening to the Ask Life Coach Ade Radio Show. The number is 347-426-3346, 347-426-3346. And know that you can post your questions on the like pages, which is Ask Life Coach Ade Radio Show page, or Life Conversations radio page. So unless if you've liked both, use either one so we can get to you. And feel free to call in 347-426-3346, 347-426-3346. The theme for the nothing matters and everything does. That's the theme. And, you know, there's so much, there's so much going on. We get so caught up in what's going on outside externally that we like. I have a friend who would say, you get yourself up in a you know, you get your knickers in a twist. You just get all like, ah. And sometimes when we allow what's going on in the external world to overtake us, we lose ourselves. People lose their mind. But this show, all the shows on Life Conversations Radio Network, it's about helping us go within, make a different choice, and learn about who we really are and how to influence. And this conversation, it's about part of the conversation will be the light-skinned. I'm not going to say light-skinned. Light-skinned and dark-skinned. Oh, Jesus, stop it. Light-skinned and dark-skinned conversation, which you put that in YouTube and you have enough to watch for the rest of your life. But it's about healing. It's looking at the story, where we were and where we are and where we're going. And also having a conversation of healing. It is really about healing, and we need each other. So I think it's time to bring on my folks, my peeps, my people, my friends, my spirit dancers, and you're invited to join the conversation. Don't call in towards the end of the show, because there's four panelists, including myself, so you know we got this down. 347-426-3346, 347-426-3346. 3346 is the number. Make sure you press 1 on your keypad. Celeste, welcome back.
It's great to be back, and I have the pleasure of introducing some phenomenal people to the family. Some people have been here before, others are brand new, but when they walk through the door, they're automatically family. So let me get to it, right? Author, activist, life coach, and mother, Monique Ruffin has dedicated her life to living and teaching that we will change the world with a spiritual approach to all of life's experiences. She is a contributing writer for the Huffington Post and founder of Moms Change the World. Monique received her BA in political science from Howard University and a master's degree in spiritual psychology from the University of Santa Monica. Her latest book is Open Your American Heart, From Personal Responsibility to Collective Accountability. Now, Charlie Carlos Palmer was born in Alabama and raised in Milwaukee. He is an award-winning artist who has made a career not only in graphic design and illustration, but in creating artistry and adding to collections of thousands of art enthusiasts all across the country. Charlie uniquely chronicles that part of American history, which is so often overlooked. After 25 years, he is still going strong in his career. He found the Carlos in him. Now he is finding the Christ in him. A new spiritual focus and love in his life brings it all together to make him complete. And I also want you to welcome Kazembe Abena. He is a certified Reiki master, teacher, and energy medicine practitioner, holistic consultant, channeler, and initiatory guide who helps to holistically heal, empower, and educate individuals and groups with the knowledge to self-empower and maximize their lives in a way that brings about balanced living and their higher calling. And Life Coach today will do the honors of introducing our next guest.
Yes, I had to really go get her. I was told I need to make a call, but she said she's going to be here. Well, guess what? The next guest is Celeste Morgan. Celeste Morgan is an intuitive tarot reader, co-producer and radio host of Life Conversations Radio Network. She received her BA in Human Relations from Trinity University and her Master's in Social Work from the University of Maryland. She works extensively with numerology and tarot to provide people with a new outlook to experience the best in their life on the Celestial Show with Celeste Morgan. Celeste enjoys being of service and finding creative ways to help people look for their strength. She is in the house, and now what I'm going to do is bring them on some kind of energy line with this. So I'm going to bring them on where we are. Hello, how are you doing?
Oh, I'm good. How are you today?
I am good. I am excited. I can relax because I got you all over here to have this conversation. I just need to throw the question in there. And, hey, I'm excited.
Good. I'm excited also. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Now let's go to Charlie. Charlie, how are you doing, my brother?
I'm doing wonderful, man. I feel blessed. And I feel, I don't know, necessarily, like, not unqualified, but I'm just, like, wondering because I'm listening to everybody else and what their background is, it's like I like that broad range of perspective. So it's a pleasure to be here. I'm excited.
Yeah, you're nowhere near unqualified. You're an artist. Do you know artistry, creativity is what's going to heal the world? Because you know your work brings people together. So you're very qualified. I know what I was doing when I called you now. Don't even try.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
And let's go to Kasane. Hey, how are you doing, my brother?
I'm doing wonderful, my brother Ade. I'm doing wonderful, man. Thank you so much for the invitation to be on this call. I look forward to it, man.
You are very welcome. And let's go to the other guest. Celeste Morgan, are you with us? Oh, see, I told you she's a diva. I can't hear you, Celeste. Why not? Okay, let's try this. What's going on? We can't hear Celeste. All right, maybe I spoke things into existence. Celeste, are you there?
Here I am. You're on the wrong line, buddy. I'm really glad to be here with Kasembe and Charlie and Monique. And Charlie, you are so wrong. He's got a picture of Tar Baby in one of his exhibits, one of his artistry, one of my favorite books by Toni Morrison. You are qualified. We all are because we're here.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yes, yes, yes. Let's jump into the conversation. Yeah, let's just jump in. So all of you got a chance to see the video.
Yeah, I was able to watch it. I actually watched it about 10 minutes ago.
Okay, good, good. So what I'm going to do for the sake of our listeners, I'm not going to play the whole clip because it's like 20 minutes long. We ain't got time for that. But I really just want to do two clips. And so this is Mark Lamont Hill talking about a show he did with Kamau Bell and what triggered, well, his comment about how the world is treating Laputa and how that just became something else. But then there's another clip that I'm going to share with you, which really struck me and which was a catalyst for the show. So here's Mark Lamont Hill introducing his show.
Not long ago, I had a comedian on the show, W. Kamau Bell. He was here at HuffPost Live. And being a black man in the entertainment industry, I asked his thoughts on Lupita Nyong'o's overwhelming popularity. Here's what we said. One more Lupita question, because it's bigger than her. She seems like the next thing that white people like.
Yes.
Like she's become like a fetish already.
Yeah.
Does that worry you?
I'm less worried because she seems to know that. She seems to have an awareness of that, which is why the speech she gave was so amazing. She seems to have an awareness of wanting to own herself, you know. So, no pun intended, 12 years a slave. But she seems to have an awareness of that, you know. And it's good if white people want to own you. It's just bad when they actually do.
Right. Since then, my wording and line of questioning has come under fire, and we're at a place now where the debate has turned not only if Lupita is being fetishized, but if her popularity is truly controversial. So today I'm joined by some of the biggest critics, my biggest critics, in fact, on the subject.
We're going to leave it as that there. So the word was fetishized, and I'm not going to go too deep, because I really don't know to be a part of that show. For me, the show inspired the conversation, and when I watched it, I was really sad to see how the sisters, well, two of them anyway, was interacting with Mark Lamont. And this is the statement, one of the things that just got me going, are you serious? Now, this is one of the panelists on the show, and this is what she said.
Yeah, black men have no moral authority to comment on black women's beauty in the public space. They have given away their moral authority on that because of the absolute destruction of black women's images over the past 30 years, and they have been the foot soldiers in the war on black women.
Well, I haven't commented on – I don't think I commented on Lupita's beauty in public. I don't think that was the focus of the conversation.
Well, I mean, you're commenting on her image, and now you're playing semantics. And I think the issue here is
– Okay, that's – Now, that statement for me, it's like, what? And even Mark Lamont was somewhat apologetically saying, I wasn't committing on her beauty. And it had me think of the relationship between black men and black women. How did we get here? And in my own research, I'm just like, whoo. And I wanted to make sure that we did this justice. I wanted to have other people have the conversation because I didn't grow up in this country. So I understand that I see it differently. And from the conversations I've had with some of the panelists, it's like, wow, this goes deep. So let me go to Monique first. And I want to ask you, from watching the show and that statement, what was your feeling, reaction to it?
My feeling and reaction to which, to both of the statements, or to the one that the woman made to Mark?
The one that Gina made and said black men have no moral authority to comment on black women's abuse in public space.
Well, my feeling was that there was that the woman, I can't think of her name right now, but it just felt like a lot of sort of unresolved anger that didn't really have anything to do with Mark Lamont and had much more to do with probably some of her own unresolved experiences and history and issues with
men. So it didn't feel like the energy that she was bringing to that conversation fit the conversation to me. So it made me really curious about what was really going on with her. And so that was how that's sort of how I felt about it and how I responded to it in the moment as I saw it.
And Charlie?
I'm not always comfortable with talking about or speaking of a general, you know, when it comes to black, white, or black men or black women or anything. But when I look at it, I was almost the same reaction. I'm wondering, what is she so angry about, and why is she lashing out in such a way? And I think that's one of those things that I'm, in general, just kind of concerned about. And it's the whole idea of we're not listening to one another. We're not open to hear one another, meaning black men and black women, and really trying to understand, clearly understand their perspectives. You know, I think if we were to approach these conversations more from a loving standpoint, and saying that I want to hear what you have to say, I think we might hear it. But right now, I think we're coming in with our own stuff and not open enough. I mean, I'm learning still after all these years. I'm learning myself to try to come in with more of an open mind and an open heart. And when I do that, I'm discovering, even when it comes to my own relationships, how I have in the past been close-minded. You know, because I'm looking for and hoping to see more situations in which we come together with an understanding we're not here to resolve the conflict, but we're here to have a better understanding of why I think it seems like we're angry at one another, we're upset with one another, and why are we so angry? And so maybe have a real conversation about that as opposed to more conflict and battle, because that's not going to resolve anything.
Yes. Kasembe, your thoughts?
I certainly agree with Monique and Charlie. I had, I just felt that her anger was coming from another place. It had nothing to do with Mark necessarily. And you know, really taking some serious liberties and some leaps. You know, her commentary on him and trying to basically manipulate the perception of black girls to Lupita, and just really taking some jumps there. But I think what it speaks to a couple things though. Number one, I do think that as black men, we have to be aware of what we say in the public sphere because of the perceptions of black men and black women. And the other thing that I think the sister may have missed, as much as she's talking about what Mark has said and what people see based on his conversation with the comedian, what's also going on is that there are eyes and ears on her reaction and her dialogue and diatribe with Mark at that time as well, which is black men and women at each other's throats. And my question is, you know, as Charlie is saying and as Monique was saying, you know, are we going to approach each other if we have an issue, particularly when we bring it to the public sphere, are we going to approach it in a way of understanding and to seek healing? So to seek healing and understanding, and that's I think that if that was the intent, the conversation would have been drastically different.
Yes. Celeste?
Well, for me, it was definitely a question of a lack of trust. And it was a public discourse, or it struck me historically how generally when African-American men and women have gotten together to have a conversation, it's not full of quite that kind of fire. I think that there was some underground energy, as everybody else has spoken about, that's unresolved. Some cobwebs needed to be shifted. It wasn't going to be healed in a 22-minute segment on Huffington Post. But there, for me, it was very strange to see what some would title a kitchen table talk, because of the bass in her voice, the energy in which she had. I'm like, whoa, she went there on live TV. Whether I agree or not, it was unusual for me to see that kind of interaction between African-American men and women when I'm used to, you know, I grew up in the 70s. I just never saw that. And at the same time, though, even though I wasn't in agreement with everything that she was saying, I do appreciate her authentically showing how she felt in the moment instead of stuffing it, like most of us have been asked to do. And when I speak of most of us, I'm speaking of women in particular. She did not feel like being a good girl and pleasing anybody. And whether you agreed with her or not, she wanted the full energy of what she was feeling to come out. And we got it. And we're talking about it.
Indeed, indeed. Okay. Now,
that's pretty amazing, Close.
Indeed. Because when I watched it, I shared it with Celeste and Yvette, and I think next person was Monique. And for me, I was just sad. I was sad to see how they're related. Now, they had another sister. I mean, and I want to just remind listeners here, this is not beating up Gina. She made a statement that triggered this show, so we're using that comment. And we all have our individual healing to go through and grow through. The word that what Mark Lamont Hill had said is like he's afraid that white people are fetishizing Laputa, and he's concerned about that, worried about that, which personally I think, what you going to do? There's nothing you can do about that. Now, when I watched the clip over the whole thing over again, I remember it just kind of jumped at me that part of the conversation here was this dark skin, light skin conversation coming up that I didn't catch the first time I watched it. I think I was just too taken over by my emotions. And then I realized there was an undercurrent. There's another sister on there, Crystalline. She talked about, you know, she never got an affirmation from black men in her community. Well, from black men, period, that she had to get it outside of her community. There was another sister, Dr. Yaba, who sort of brought balance to it. So for me, what I really want to talk about is today is we talked about not listening to one another, being angry, healing that needs to be done. And I just want to present to you all, how did we get here? And particularly, I really want you to share your light skin, dark skin story and where you are with it now. And so I have someone in mind that I want to go to, but who wants to go first?
Yeah. Well, I can start if it's okay.
Okay, Charles. Go ahead, Charles.
I'm in, and this is many black families, I'm in a situation where I have five siblings. And for some interesting reason, and the same thing happened to my dad, my sisters are both light-skinned, green eyes, red hair. All the guys are dark skin, dark brown eyes. And so even growing up in our environment, we refer to each other as white, meaning when we got angry with our sisters, and they called us black, so-and-so when they were angry with us. And so, I mean, I think and even if you think about like Spike Lee in School Days, he dealt with that whole subject of light skin, dark skin. Now, for me, I was the kid, the odd kid in the late 70s, early 80s that always was attracted to the dark-skinned girls. And felt very odd about that because all of my friends around me were attracted to the light-skinned, wavy hair or straight hair girls. And so I always have to ask myself, what was wrong with me? Why did I find these dark-skinned women or girls at the time more attractive? And even to this day, it's one of those kind of things. If when I'm looking at, like, Lupita is a good example. Yeah, she's gorgeous. She's beautiful. But I grew up, like, Paula Kelly in the 70s. I just thought she was so beautiful to me. And so I think it's a conditioning. It's something that is going way back when we kind of described and defined what beauty was. There were very few examples of black women. You know, there were lots of examples of what beauty was described, and we look at movies and television and the media in general, there were the beauty. And when it came to even acceptance of the black woman, they often gravitated towards the more fair skin and straighter hair or Caucasian features. And so I think that's part of it. It's like if you're not conscious of it or aware of it, it's just something that is always being fed to you. And so even to step into 2013, 14, all the controversy that has to do with Beyonce, again, this is a black woman, and this is supposed to be a definition of a beautiful black woman. And all of a sudden, Lupita comes in here, and, I mean, it's shifting. But I would think, and I really didn't even want to, when we were going to get into this, talk about that whole issue of light, dark, or anything like that, because, again, I'm always going to go back to acceptance of anybody and everybody who they are and where they're at. And so it's always about love. It's always about who are you, especially at your core. Who are you at your core? And in the end, when you begin to have an intimate relationship or a loving relationship with someone, it's not their outer beauty that really you begin to connect with. It's more about who they truly are on the inside.
I get it. I mean, I get it. I up to this in preparation for the show, when I was preparing for it, after a while I was thinking, oh, God, this is just way too heavy. I don't think I want to do this. Because it's more, it's like this conversation has been going from generation to generation. It's been going for years. But at the same time, because I knew people who are my friends and the kind of perspective we can bring to it, it can heal something unless you're willing to deal with it. You got to deal with it. You got to feel it. In the Sacred Yes, Deborah Johnson talks about feel, deal, and heal. And too many people just want to talk about it, but they don't want to feel the pain. It lives.
Right.
It's alive. So how do we bring healing to it? And that's why I'm grateful for all of you and to actually be here. Let me go to Kasembe. Let me go to another man because no, I won't do that. But anyway, I'm coming to you, Kasembe. I was going to quote Gina again, but I won't do that. Gina's my sister. So tell us your story about light skin, dark skin, what you were, you know, what your experience was, because I also find it interesting when Charlie said, you know, he was asking what was wrong with me because everybody else was with light skin girls. And so what kind of message did you get when you were younger, Kasembe?
You know, the message I got was that, you know, we have had in my family just like Charlie, light skin and dark skin people. You know, my mother is very, very, very light skin. My father, I guess, is, you know, medium complexion, I guess. But my grandmother is dark skin, and most of her people are dark skin. But her mother, my great grandmother, is also very, very, very light skin. So we were raised, and this comes from my mother, you know, to absolutely not buy into, you know, straight hair, take the comb all the way back from the front of your head to the back of your neck, you know, being all caught up in all that stuff, you know, oh, such and such's head is kinky. You know, that was just absolutely not allowed, you know, that sort of talk. So that's the way I was raised. And, however, I was also raised on the West Coast. And I don't know if anyone knows here, but the West Coast has 10 times the national average of interracial relationships. And the reason that's important is because you're talking about the products of those relationships. Obviously, you know, oftentimes are mixed, you know, mixed children who have the wavy hair, who have the light skin. And so there's just a whole kitchen caboodle of issues and things that brings. And so I have found, again, this is just my opinion, but I have found that that the West Coast is very light skin conscious. And I've also found that, and brothers are no exception to that rule, you know. I've met a lot of brothers who will not, you know, date, you know, sisters who are even approaching the complexion of a brown paper bag, you know. Mm. So in growing up, I saw a lot of that. And I have, you know, my thing is I have attempted to, you know, I was, people ask me, what is your, you know, what is your type? I say, I don't have a type. I just know what I like. And it may be tall, short, thin, more shapely, you know, athletic, it may be light, dark, you know, it just depends on what, you know, what the woman's bringing and what, you know, what I'm attracted to within her inside and out. So it just, but it's still, with all that being said, it can still be, I have still had to make sure that I stay connected to who I am and what I like and not allow mass media and the environment around me to sway and to persuade me and tell me what I should be liking. You know, at times it's been a struggle, particularly when I was younger. So I don't think that any, I think that very few people are immune to that. And that you do have to quiet the noise. You have to quiet the noise and really understand, you know, what you like and what attracts you. But at the same time, be honest about what you like. You know, really be honest about what you like. So that's about all I can say on that right now.
Yeah, that's amazing. And
so you're breaking up quite a bit. Can you guys hear me? Because you're breaking up quite a bit.
I can't hear you a day. You're breaking up.
Okay, 1 second.
Yeah.
One.
We want to have this conversation.
Okay, we got echo now. Now we're better. Yes.
Okay.
Let me take a breath. I feel that Mr. Perfection is coming to the room like, hey, 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 what's going on back there in the studio? Get it together. So, okay, so what I was saying is this: the second segment of the show, I want us to really talk about the healing part, but I also wanted to hear the background or what you guys grew up with. And even for some of the listeners who maybe people who are not of color or who are not black, white people, whatever you want to call yourself, people say I'm a human being, true. And sometimes we do what is known as a spiritual bypass, but in order to heal something, as I said earlier, we must look at what the real, I mean, what the issue is. So, Monique, let me come to you because we're talking about, Kasembe was talking about the West Side. What was your experience growing up when it, regarding the light skin, dark skin, and what you learned about that?
So I live in California. I'm not sure where Kasembe is in, on the west, but I am in California, and I've lived here for the majority of my life. And I was raised by parents and grandparents who are from Mississippi and Alabama. And what I my feeling about this issue around complexion is that it has always been better to look closer to white people because when we were slaves, if you had lighter skin, which usually was a result of a slave woman having a relationship with a master, so then they would produce children. And so, you know, there's a deep history in women being raped by white men and then producing offspring. And there are also times when it wasn't necessarily rape, but we don't hear as many of those stories as we hear about rape. My grandmother was the result of a rape in Alabama. So that is how how people usually got light skin. That's where it started from. And then if you looked white, you just, the master was white, and you looked more like the master, so that is what was appreciated. That was celebrated. So then you were what people would call a house Negro. So there were privileges that came with looking closer, looking like the master. So and not only did you look like the master, but it was more likely that you were related to the master. So there was privilege that came with that. And the people who were darker skinned, you know, didn't have access to those resources that people who had lighter skin had. So we that is where it comes from in our culture and in our history as black people and white people. Personally, I'm a brown-skinned girl. I'm in the middle. My mother was light-skinned, and her mother was light-skinned, and it was very celebrated in my family to have light skin. And so I was sort of the odd person out. And because I didn't have light skin and long hair, because both my parents had, my mother and the women, her sisters and grandmother and mother and all of that, had light skin and long hair. So I never really felt beautiful is how it occurred for me. I didn't feel like I looked like them. I didn't feel celebrated. I didn't feel affirmed for the way that I looked. And as a child, that was really painful. And it was really, it really played on my self-esteem a lot, especially being in California, because California so celebrates black people who look, or did in the past, black people who look, who were light-skinned, who had more, who looked more like white people, because that's basically what it comes down to, is like that you actually look more like white people. And that was a conversation in my, from my mother that, you know, she would say, don't date him, he's too dark. She would say to my girlfriends who were light-skinned, oh, I'm surprised that you were friends with Monique, because when I was growing up, I didn't have friends who were her complexion. So there was a lot of that going on. And it's ignorant, but occurs to a 4 or 10 or 15-year-old girl is pretty traumatizing. The beautiful part is that I went back to school. I went to Howard University when I went to college, and there was a whole other experience that I had that just didn't even exist here in California. Like, I was celebrated for the way that I looked, for looking like a black girl, for having kinky hair. And it just shifted everything for me. Like, I really began to feel like I was beautiful. And so by then I was about 20 or so. But it has been something that I've had to work on constantly, not necessarily about my complexion, but just about feeling beautiful, feeling. And I don't know that that has to do so much with if I'm light or dark skin, but just how it was. I was introduced to what beauty it was as a child, and my mother really celebrated it, and she didn't celebrate me. I think I was about 24 years old before I ever heard her say, you're pretty. And it just made such a big difference. It just, like, I was like, wow, like you don't, as a woman, I'm surprised when I look back how important my physical beauty is to me and how much I want to be seen as beautiful, at least to the people that I know love me. And when it wasn't acknowledged, how it sort of devastated me. The benefit has been that I have not relied on my beauty to get me into doors or into, you know, for relationships. It has not, I don't lead with that. And I've seen a lot of physically beautiful women really lead in their lives with how they look. And that has not been for me. So I have really been the type of person who is capable of having conversations about things that matter in the world. And I have been, my relationships are, you know, deeply connected around who we are as people. Like, I have really had to cultivate who I am as a person. And I have valued that inner fortitude that I have more than I have placed on my physical beauty. So now, not only am I likable and smart, but now I also know that I am beautiful, but it afforded me the opportunity, not knowing it, afforded me the opportunity to focus on places that within myself that are eternal. Because the way I look at being a 40-something-year-old woman, it's changing before my eyes.
Literally, right?
Yes. Yes. Things are not in the same places, and, you know, so I have cultivated those other things.
Yes, yes. Cultivating a deeper awareness for itself. Actually, we're going to take a call. We got a listener, and she wanted to add a comment. Hello, what's your name?
Hello, Miss Lady. And I'm calling from the West Coast, but sometimes...
Okay, what did you say your name was? What's your name?
Miss Lady. Miss Lady.
Miss Lady? Oh, Miss Lady, okay. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay, so is the conversation narrowed to whether or not black men should be commenting on black women's beauty? Is that pretty much what the conversation is about?
Well, not necessarily. It's broader than that. It triggered, it was the catalyst for the show, but the show is about really looking at the context, really the black and white, light skin, dark skin conversation. They're still present, but more so, how do we bring healing to it? That's the conversation.
Okay. Well, you know what? Because I'm a light skinned woman, and, you know, probably Beyonce's color before she got bleached out, and so I understand, you know, and like most black people, we have, you know, our families range from very very dark to white looking. So, but the thing is, I think we all know what the issues are. We know the history. We know why there's so much conflict and disturbance and issues with it. But when I hear the word healing, it's like, how are you going to be healed when you're constantly being assaulted with the virus? So that, I think, really needs to be addressed. When people start changing their thinking and treating themselves with love and treating other people with love, then the healing will come. It's like if you have pneumonia and, you know, you're attempting to get well, and then you're constantly being assaulted with a pneumonia virus, you know, even if you're given antibiotics, you're going to still get sick because there's been no real setback. Your immune system can build up, your antibiotics can be affected, and you're not encountering that same virus over and over again. Do you know what I'm saying? So until we change our thinking and it's demonstrated with our actions toward each other, which is nobody should be demeaned and disrespected, period, based on how they look, period, then it's not going to be much healing.
And so let me ask you this. How do we get to that point? How do we get to that point where we change and not judging people for what they look? What do we need to do? What do you think we need to do?
Maybe there needs to be a concerted mass organized effort. I mean, forget sweeping it under the carpet. Everybody knows our issues. It's not like it's a secret. In fact, other groups have the same type of issues. The Indians, the Hispanics, everybody has the same issues. Mm-hmm. I mean, look at J-Lo. She's been bleached out as well. So maybe there needs to be an institute. Maybe there needs to be a formal organization established to address the issue and bring it all out, so that people can become, so that the young people will not be brainwashed. I don't know, because it's such a big issue. The media perpetuates it, right? The media is a big factor in perpetuating the issues. So, and you know, certain people are promoted. What's interesting to me is, and Lupita, I don't take anything from her. I think she's beautiful, talented, highly educated, intelligent. She's brilliant. But why is it that there couldn't have been an African-American woman? Do you know what I'm saying? An African-American who's being celebrate a dark-skinned African-American woman, because she is African.
Let me jump in that question there. Let me jump in there for the sake of time. Yeah. Let me jump in there and ask you a question, because you said, you know, we got to move to a point where we're not judging people by how they look. But, and you said you're not taking anything away from Lupita, but why couldn't it be an African-American woman? Aren't
right,
you doing the same thing that you say we need to move beyond?
No, I'm saying that African-American women have been the women put up under this issue of colorism, and it would have helped a lot of African-American women in this country to have seen someone dark-skinned who is black American. In that position. I'm not saying she wasn't right for the role, but it would be nice if there could be additional role for black American women, because the colorism came about for us in this country, right? So
I disagree.
Well, okay, you can disagree, but can I finish?
Because she said, I agree. Make a breathless lady.
I said I disagree. I said I don't
you disagreed, okay.
Hold on,
Miss Lady. Hold on, because we want to engage your conversation.
Can I have one more point? It's not just skin color alone. See, with women, it's about hair. It's about features. It's about figure. It's about, she has nice, slender hands and small feet. It gets crazy. It's not, because you can have, you know, a light-skinned person who has unattractive features and who's crude and who has terrible skin and terrible hair. They won't be viewed in the same way, say, as a Beyonce or a Rihanna. So it's not just color. It becomes,
it really does come down to people's inner work.
Go ahead, Mom.
Like, we have to take responsibility for ourselves. It's like no one else is responsible for how we feel about ourselves or how we think about ourselves.
That's
if we're
not
really,
Miss Lady, hold on.
Your parents are very responsible.
Okay, Miss Lady, hold on. Okay, I'm going to have to use the power invested
woman,
in me. Go ahead, Monique.
As an adult woman, I am responsible for how I feel about myself. So literally, I have spent 20 years doing my interpersonal work. I have been in therapy. I practice meditation. I have dedicated my life's journey to healing myself so that I could clear up those divisions that go on. But I did inherit that stuff from my parents. So at 5 years old, no, I'm not responsible. But at 25 and at 35 and at 45, I'm completely responsible. And so if I'm walking around thinking, oh, my hands are ugly, then that means that I need to really commit myself even deeper to healing myself. It's my job to do that. And the media it's really not, we know who the media is. We know what they do. So if we want that to change, then we have to do so by not spending our money in places that they suggest that we do. Don't buy products from companies that promote, you know, self-hatred and self-denigration. Like, really use the power that we have and really step up out of this experience of being a victim. We are not victims. We are empowered, and we create our realities every single day by the thoughts that we have and the way that we spend our money, our time, and the way that we use our voices.
You are listening to the Ask Life Coach at a radio show. We are having a conversation. Colorism, light skin, dark skin, black men allowed to make a comment about black woman's beauty. And really, we know, as Miss Lady said, I guess she's still with us. Okay, I thought she hung up, but she's still with us. But I needed to mute you because I wanted everybody to be heard. But the thing is, you know, I want to go to Celeste, and then we're going to take a break, because on the other side, I really want to talk about, kind of continue what Monique is saying, the self-healing. I think anybody that sees themselves as a victim puts too much emphasis on the other. You know, we say it's the other people, the media, but we are the media. If we're watching a cable network, we are supporting them. If we're having a conversation, so let me go to Celeste so she can share her story, and maybe she might want to add to what Miss Lady said. But really, on the other side, I'm going to throw this out before we take the break. Because after Celeste, I'm going to take a break. Start thinking about if you were talking to a group of young people, and in this case, African-American young people, who have heard this conversation in their family, their teenagers, they're 8, 9 years old, and still hear some of their parents having this kind of conversation, what would you want to share with them? What would you want to share with them how they can start be the healing that we're looking for rather than waiting for Hollywood or Nollywood or whoever to kind of change the image so that we can feel whole? So, Celeste, I'm going to come to you now to share your story. what you learned and your experience, and so let's do that for now.
Okay. Number one, for me, my sisters on the continent of Africa and my sisters in England, Europe, there are black women all over the world. And the first thing that I needed to understand is that I am not separated from them. Mm-hmm. They are not separated from me.
Mm-hmm.
Even if we can have a whole other show, because we could, about the need to remember that.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, let's go back. Thank you, Miss Lady, for your comment. Thank you, Monique, because it brought up a memory that I didn't write in my notes, and the memory is this. For all my life, until my mother sat me down, I thought the epitome of beauty out of Egypt was Cleopatra and I thought she was white.
Mm.
I did not understand. You want to talk about disconnection and not being able to grab your treasures of fruit as African women living wherever we are. Okay? It's one of the biggest shams in the 70s for me. When my mama set me down, I said, Mama, I want to go to Egypt. I think people in Egypt are so beautiful. And my mother said to me, Sean, you realize that Egypt is in Africa, right? And I said, what? It's not like I didn't have a map. It's not like I didn't. I just, some way, somehow, the message was so strongly planted in me, and not from my family, but my mother was just like, Sean, here. And then she pulled out the encyclopedia. Like, I know you saw Elizabeth Taylor, baby, but she looks like you. Here she is. That did so much to affirm me and to be able to reclaim my history. Now, my mom did everything she could in her power to tell me I was a beautiful little brown girl, but she needed backup. She needed some serious backup. She did. She bought me black dolls. She told me I was beautiful. She told me I was smart. But when I was left in front of a TV, I only got to see that on Saturday during Soul Train. Soul Train just wasn't about the music. It was about being able to see examples of black women who were beautiful, the Afro Sheen commercial. So, you know, I mean, I'm going there, the Afro Sheen commercial, and I can't remember if it was Charlie or Kazembe who brought up Paula Kelly, but thank you for that memory, because I remember being so proud of seeing this black woman, African-American, if we need to break that down. She was the only black person in Sweet Charity with Shirley MacLaine, and she danced her behind off, and she sang, and she had fire, and Paula Kelly shows up a lot for me. So for me, my whole life has been about remembering the messages that my mother sent me and also supplementing and following her path and giving me more messages of who I am, how beautiful I am. I have more, but I can stop there. But I will leave you with this, Imitation of Life.
Yes.
Both versions. The original version with Freddie Washington.
Yes.
And then the other version with Susan Coyner, where we learned about the pain of what it meant to be black through this woman who looked white and passed for white. Mm-hmm. So I'm not trying to give over everything to the media, but I do want to say that it definitely has played a part in what I defined as beautiful and what I defined was a problem. And the Imitation of Life, we all break down at the end when Mama dies. Mama, I'm sorry for not being for not recognizing and acknowledging the love and the blood of you that's running through me, and I wanted to throw that away. And that's not an old story. I mean, that's not a new story. And it's still happening. So I'll stop there. <For you.
laughs> Yes. I knew this show is going to have a lot of energy and try to navigate it. And, you know, when I listened to this, even what Miss Lady had to share, and, you know, for me, and we all, you know, life is paradoxical. I get that. But it's this whole thing about we need to see people for who they are. There are people who say that. Let's see people for who they are, not for the color of their skin, whatever. But at the same time, we say it would be better if it's an African-American woman. And, yes, I understand that, too. But we really have to do our inner work. And one of the things that Monique shared with me when I watched 12 Years a Slave, because I was numb. I didn't know what to say. I just didn't understand. And Monique said something, and I'm thinking, I hear that, but that's a bit too far for me right now. She said, you know, when I watched it, she told me a story. She said, but it just helped me. Yeah, I just was able to see that humanity is sick, that we all have some illness. We all have challenges. You know, everybody, every group has its issue. In Nigeria, there are issues. In Ghana, there are issues. In South Africa, there are issues. You know, in England, there are issues. But sometimes we get so married to our point of view of being a victim that we can't even heal. And even if the healing was served to us on a plate, we'll call it poison. Mm-hmm.
So for me, this conversation is about peeling back the scale to see what is really real. We're going to take a break on that, and then when we come back, actually we're going to do Celestial Moment, squeeze that in, and then continue the conversation, and really about healing. You know, there's a lot of different things that trigger us, but, you know, only those who are already in the circle. And I welcome all of you, 347-426-3346.
Life Conversations Radio.
All right, Michael Billups, thank you very much.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations, the radio show, is dedicated to empowering its listeners spiritually, emotionally, socially, and financially. The radio show provides the platform for the stimulation of thoughts, conversations, and ways of being that allow listeners to explore and examine what it is they believe and decide whether what they believe is keeping them stuck and disempowered or empowering them to live their best life.
Hi, this is Mark Hudson, founder of 12radio.com, and I'm here to support Life Coach Ade. I like what Life Coach Ade does. I like the Celestial Moment with Celeste Morgan, and I like the message that's given out. If you like the message and you have a product that you'd like to also announce that would reach like-minded people, consider sponsoring the show. The pricing is great and details will be given after this message. Keep spreading the love, guys. Thank you so much.
Yes, indeed. For more information, send an email to radio@lifeconversationsradio.com. radio@lifeconversationsradio.com.
Are you about work, 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 and no play? Adults have a tendency to stay busy and neglect their own health and well-being, while successful people take regular breaks, vacations, and timeouts to play, rest, rejuvenate, and tap into their creative selves. Play and Heal is a unique opportunity for you to host a life-changing event in your very own living room, an event that is especially designed by you to facilitate the releasing of stress, balancing the mind, body, and spirit, not only for yourself, but of your friends and family, too. Whether you create a soiree, a ladies' night, or couples event, these events are infused with the best of care, informative health information, and tools for stress maintenance that will shift how you see yourself and empower you to begin to work in cooperation with your best life. This event is sure to put a smile on your heart and send your spirit soaring. To book your Play and Heal event today, go to playandheal.org or you can email us at info@playandheal.org.
Snickerdoodle shortbread, fudgy nut bar. How many cheeks? Snickerdoodle shortbread, fudgy nut bar. How many cheeks in the cookie jar? One.
Dad, you're supposed to jump over the rope.
One more time.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 1-877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Life Conversations, committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be. Have courage, make that move.
Hi, this is Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source. You're listening to Ask Life Coach Ade on LifeConversationsRadio.com. Many blessings to you.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Yes, indeed. It's all about being the change you want to see. We're talking about healing. We're talking about growth. And you can't get to healing if you don't want to feel. And when you feel it, rather than be reactive, you've got to deal with it. As EarthWeb said in the chat room, got to get off that victim train. You've got to get off the victim train or else you're not going to heal and you're going to keep looking for others to do the healing while you just head in a direction and thinking, I don't like where we're going. Well, you can take charge. It's time for Celestial Moment, a.k.a. Spiritual Weather Report with Celeste Morgan. Celeste, we're working you today.
Yes, you are. Good thing I'm prepared. Good afternoon, family. I am Celeste Morgan, and it is my pleasure to bring you Celestial Moment. I come bearing a number gift, and trust you will be able to use these tools to embrace whatever is showing up in your life right now. The energy of the day is 8. 8 is ruled by Saturn, the planet of discipline. 8 is also the number infinity and balance, and it is the sacred number of Obatala, the chief of the white cloth. Now today we're going to put the spotlight on how 8 shows up in the Mother Peace Tarot cards. We're going to focus on the Justice card, which is astrologically connected to the sign of Libra. We are still riding on the lunar eclipse, full moon, and Libra energy, and the sign of Libra is ruled by Venus. And she asks us to focus on our relationships, for relationships are the looking glass through which we can see ourselves. The Justice card is often thought of as the karma card, or the card of courts in the legal system. However, Mother Peace Tarot asks, how are we taking care of each other? For it is in that answer that we will learn more about the effects of reaping what we sow. The Justice card setting takes place out in nature. There's an ash tree being nurtured by 3 goddesses. One diverts a waterfall so the tree might drink. Another holds a crystal to listen for what the roots need. And a third goddess reaches out a hand to touch a deer who is representing all of humanity. In this dance, we find the goddesses performing compassionate acts. There is no room for guilt or innocence. The goddesses remind that we are all on a soul mission. Each of us is learning what talents we might give to respond to one another. And it is through this vision that justice is truly served. All is well. And that's the story of 8, told through the Justice card of Mother Peace Tarot. I'll see you on Wednesday, around 1, for another Celestial Moment. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Celeste. Appreciate you for giving a different perspective on healing. We are the justice we look for. We have to show up. We have to be accountable. And the music underneath Celeste, that's Destiny Muhammad. And the title of the music song is Grace. The grace of God is upon us. We say God is all there is. We're one family. We're connected. But if that's the truth, why is it so challenging to do our own inner work? Because doing inner work takes courage. It takes work. Sometimes it's painful. The question is, will you? Let's continue the conversation. Because of time, I'm just going to jump back. Let me go to Kasembe. And earlier I'd said, you know, if you imagine talking to young people who are growing up, and they bring up the idea of, like, you know, this is what I hear my parents talking about, or this is the image I get from society or the media. What kind of, what would you share with them in order for them to be part of the healing and that we create a different reality? As well, and if you want to add to the previous conversation as well, Kasembe and Charlie, you feel free to do that. So go ahead, Kasembe.
Let me first say, I and I have to be careful with this. I don't want to act as if I'm speaking on behalf of all black men. But I do want to say this. I feel compelled to say this because I think that we need to know that we're heard, even along with our own, with empowering ourselves to heal ourselves, et cetera. I just want to say that in the clip last night that I saw last night with the, you know, the whole Mark thing on Huffington Post and sisters talking, and what the sisters just said on, and what Monika said, what Celeste said, I just want to say that, you know, sisters, as much as I can, as a man in a patriarchal society, I feel your pain, and I'm sorry that you had to go through that. my mother had said some things to me, as I was growing up, that made me more aware of the pain that sisters go through, particularly sisters that are of a darker complexion, or whose nose are broad, or lips are thick, you know, so, or whose hair is kinky. So I just want to say that I feel your pain, sisters, and I'm sorry that you had to experience that. So let me just say that off the top. Because I think part of the problem is that we particularly as men in the patriarchal society, we can get insensitive to those things that we don't experience. And I think that was also part of the issue with Mark, that he kind of did kind of talk sideways, a little out of his neck, little sideways comments. But anyway, so in terms of children sitting down or young people coming, you know, young adolescents, and getting them to understand.
And you know what? Actually, while you're answering that, let me just add, not just you, because adults are still holding the pain. So just include all black people, period, in America,
okay,
who are
okay
holding that. I'm just thinking, it's not just children, because especially adults, they need to do the inner work. So go ahead. Yeah.
Sure. Having heard a lot of pain, I think one of the things that we need to do is, as Monique brought up, and I was going to say this, but I said, well, you know, we already know this. But some of us, we can forget. We can forget where this stuff comes from. Our whole history in this country as Africans and now African Americans, and the whole master-slave relationship, and having a, you know, some white blood in you to validate your existence. So I think that we need to put a context to where these things come from. So that slinging phrases around, such as, you're black as a skillet, this and that, things like that. We need to expose how hurtful those things are and where those things come from, which is from a very racist, bigoted perspective. Now, also understanding that this issue is worldwide. Some places more than others, of course, but this issue is worldwide in terms of certain perspectives on beauty, light skin, dark skin, slim, fat, or slim, large, however you want to say it, certain body types. So it's much, much bigger than just our group here. But I think that educating them in terms of where things come from and having them look critically at why they say what they say, and say, listen, well, is that really true, or is that how you feel, are you just saying this because you heard this from someone, and then talking about where that particular phrase or that comment has come from? I think that's a start. I don't want to take up too much time, but I think that's a start. But once you start with the critical analysis, and what certain terms can do, and the concepts of beauty, and the concepts of beauty worldwide, and the differences, then you can start to educate and then get to the healing. Let me just stop there, because I think I've said enough already. I don't want to take too much time.
thank you.
So there's a lot. There's so much to say about this. There's so much.
Yes. There's so much to be said. So I'll stop there and move to Charlie. And Charlie, you work with young people as well. And as Kasembe was talking, I was also thinking about adults who are in so much pain about it, but afraid to. It's too painful for them to actually allow themselves to feel that pain. So they will put more energy in judging others or their upbringing and not willing to do the work. So what would you share with adults who maybe sweeping it under the carpet, don't want to face it, and young people who are asking different questions around this issue about colorism?
Yeah, I'm gonna go back to, again, our history a little bit and address. I'm looking into, like, I don't know how many people are aware of Mamie Clark and their doll test that was put together, mm-hmm, I think,
absolutely,
around 60,
yeah. Yeah.
60 years ago. And then there was a test that was a similar test about 4 years ago. And the frightening thing about the result, because the results were almost identical to, you know, so have we made enough progress? And I really think that part of it is calling parents to act and stop letting the media, stop letting TV be our babysitters. Because I know that when children are reacting to what beauty is, that's what they're, again, seeing, what's being reflected on on TV and videos and YouTube and everything like that. And so I think that we have to, as parents, really sit down and let them know about where they've come from and how beautiful they truly are. And really kind of, I've seen it many times because I do work with children. I'm fortunate to be in a position where I'm a Sunday school director or a co-director, and then being involved with that and watching how children are reacting to each other, it's very important to let them know, no matter what shade they are, they're all beautiful. And so, and everybody has their own beauty, and they all have to define their own beauty. You know, full lifts were once considered unattractive. Claim your full lifts. Claim your round nose. Claim whatever it might be. Claim your big forehead. When I was a child being brought up, I had pink lips. And so some of my family members called me Pinky. And I used to be very ashamed of my pink lips. But now I'm at a point where I'm very proud, again, of who I am. And it so much is about that really self-healing. And also but that self-examination, because at times I have to find myself, I find myself in situations where I might be, honestly, passing judgment. And I have to recognize that when I'm behaving that sort of way and call myself, you know, to the plate and say, hey, Charlie, you know, how are you responding to this and why are you responding to this in this manner? And so it really is, you know, us being accountable for our own actions, us, if we are fortunate or blessed enough to be parents, what are we saying and how are we teaching our children about their beauty? And I think that that becomes very important to it. They are, and I really sincerely, honestly believe it, and when I say it, I mean it, that we're all beautiful and we have to recognize what makes us beautiful.
Right.
Mm. Yes, yes. So true. Let me go to Monique, and I'm going to add to the question. It's kind of changing a little bit. It's because as I listen, I think of, you know, there's so much going on inside of me as I listen to our conversation. It's like there are some people who could take 2, 3, 4 hours talk about how bad it is and how black people will always be looked at second classes and whatever the case may be. Or even if it's politics, you know, people can spend more time talking about a negative aspect of it. But when we throw the equation of love or healing, self-love, sometimes people say, well, you can do all the self-love you want, but you still got to change the media. And then there's the other aspect where I sometimes, even as we talk, I'm thinking, are we preaching to the choir here? You know? So I guess I want to just throw that to you, one, to kind of share your thoughts on that. And are we preaching to the choir? Is self-healing enough? Do we need to do more than that?
So Miss Lady didn't sound like the choir to me. She sounded like she has, you know, like she has a different experience. Her she asked, you know, she was very curious about the word healing. So
right. That
I don't know her, but her asking that question made me think that that's not necessarily her approach. And when she spoke about the challenges of it, she broke it down in a way that I haven't heard in a really long time. If she is listening to the show regularly, like I would say that she is not the choir, and that's beautiful because we need all the voices. We need to really get a clear picture of how varied our perspectives are, how far we've come, and still yet how far we need to go. So is self-healing enough? Well, it's really all you can do because I can't heal you. So all I can do is really heal myself. And in doing so, that will vibrationally shift, you know, the way I think and the choices that I make and the actions that I take and how my life unfolds, which will impact my child. And then he will go into an environment. But self-healing, it absolutely is enough. And it is the beginning and the end. We are also all interrelated, you know, like so we have relationships with ourselves and we have relationships with others. We have a community that we are a part of.
So when we heal ourselves, as we are lifted, we lift and bring all men unto us. But the focus is not to bring all men and women unto us. The focus is to heal ourselves. And there is a, you know, there is a byproduct of that experience that will connect and touch others, because people will see our light and they will be inspired. The reason that I've done the work on myself that I have done is because I saw other people, you know, first of all, I was in so much pain. Let's start there. Like, I had so much agony around the environment that I grew up in and my outlook on life. Like, I was in pain about the way I thought about life and what I thought was possible for myself. And so I had to do something if I was going to just live, really. Like, I had to do something. So I saw that there were other people I saw the light in other people. And when I saw that, I decided to take it on for myself. And it is every day I'm doing it, every day. Sometimes I think that my spiritual practice is literally my job. Like, if I could get paid for my spiritual practice, I would be a quadrillionaire. that is what I have to do, to just continue to grow and evolve and to be a loving component in my relationships with my friends and my child and his father and, like, all of those things. Like, not to become a statistic as divorced parents. Like, to really hold a space of love so that we could continue to parent this child and continue to respect and love and honor one another as human beings. Like, that takes, for me, that took inner work. It took shifting old ideas of separation and self-hatred so that I could choose a new thing and be different.
I so hear you. And real quick, I want to just ask you something here, because you mm-hmm. shared it earlier. And I think it's important sometimes when we use the word healing, self-love, I don't know, maybe it's just the way I see the world. Mm-hmm. I think people don't, it becomes very intellectual. Can you share how you were able to, because I think you said it was painful when your mother asked your friend, how come you're friends with Monique? And mm-hmm. because she was light skinny, was there anything particular that you did to heal that, especially something that was coming from your mother like that?
Oh, absolutely. So, like I said, I was in therapy for years, and then I was in a few programs that were dedicated to spiritual healing, where I actually went through my life and through my mother's life, asking questions about how does she adapt the belief system that she had? And then understanding that she grew up in a home where her mother celebrated having light skin and straight hair. And so that was something that she was taught. That was the evolutionary process in my family structure. And then beginning to, as I understood that, I could have compassion. And, like, it wasn't, she didn't hate me. It wasn't personal to me. It was what she had been taught. Like, we really, truly are a product of our environment until we're not, and we still are. So it was a very deliberate, like, unwinding of a piece of yarn. What, you know, where does this piece go? Where does this piece, and then how does all that come into my awareness and into my way of being? And then it started just pulling things out. Like, oh, that's what my mother believed. That's what she taught me, whether she knew it or not. I'm going to take that out. And then forgiving myself. For not believing that I was beautiful, for not believing that I was worthy, for believing that I needed something else out there to affirm me, to make me feel whole, and then forgiving my mother. And sometimes, as I'm in my 40s, sometimes I still wake up with, you know, the 10-year-old girl inside of me leading the day. And I can look at somebody and think, oh, my God, she's more beautiful than I am. This happened to me just a few years ago. I met this woman, stunning. Oh, my God, this woman, she was like 6 feet tall, caramel complexion, hazel green eyes, curly hair, and she was walking with a man that I was interested in, that I was actually kind of starting to date. And I felt myself gasp. Like, it was almost as if somebody had taken all the air out of the room, because I felt like I wasn't as beautiful as her. But as soon as I was able to gather myself, so I left the place that I was in and went home to gather myself, and I realized that I was experiencing envy and jealousy. And so I immediately did the work. So what is jealousy? It's believing that somebody else has something that you want. So why don't you have, not what they have, but why aren't you celebrating your own life? So what I realized is that I wasn't really fulfilling my own potential, that I could look at somebody else's life and think it was better than mine. So I needed to get busy making my own life be something that I felt that was worthy. And that's exactly what I did. So those issues still come up for me today. I'm grown, and they come up. I'm an adult woman with a child. I've been married and divorced. I went through labor. I pushed the baby out. You know what I mean? Like, and I still have those issues come up for me, and I am diligent in pulling out the weeds when I need to.
I hear you. Let me go to Celeste. I know, Celeste, you have a lot bubbling for you, and the question is, what would you share with young people or even adults? And then when we finish, we'll come to you, Nisi. What would you share with adults, or maybe a personal story of how you healed as an example of what others can do? So go ahead, Celeste.
Yeah, I'm happy to share my healing through the arts. The words that I have used that were gifted to me by phenomenal teachers, my mom, and other people who played a big part in making me who I am today. The first thing they introduced me to was Paul Laurence Dunbar, Little Brown Baby. The first line is, Little Brown Baby with Sparkling Eyes. Look that up and feed yourself that, because oftentimes as adults, we need the reminder, as Monique beautifully stated, about how beautiful we are. I like to go on ego tripping with Nikki Giovanni when I'm feeling really blue. You cannot tell me anything after I listen to that. And what's beautiful about technology now is you can catch the rhythm of what she meant when she said it, because you can catch it on YouTube. Hear those words and let them flow through you. Always phenomenal woman. A lot of listeners post Maya Angelou's phenomenal woman all the time, and I'm so grateful when you do, because I'm always needed. I also play with Nina Simone, and the piece that I wanted to bring to Monique, because it hit me, I knew I wasn't the prettiest girl in the world growing up, even though my mama told me I was. But what you couldn't do was not tell me I wasn't the smartest. But I got bullied for that, though. So whether you're the pretty girl or the smart girl, there's still consequences behind how you show up. But one of the pieces that helped me in my healing was a very painful story written by Toni Morrison, The Bluest Eye. Mm-hmm. And when Monique spoke about jealousy, this piece came back to me, and it says, jealousy. This is in reference to a light-skinned girl in the neighborhood and a collective story about how she was treated. Jealousy we understood and thought natural, but envy was a strange new feeling for us. And all the time we knew that Maureen Peel was not the enemy and not worthy of such intense hatred. The thing to fear was the thing that made her beautiful and not us.
Mm.
So all of these pieces and far more have helped me in my healing. And, yes, arts do heal. And I'm so grateful for every artist that gave birth to those words to make me who I am today.
Thank you, Celeste. Thank you. So much to say, but we'll save it. Got two calls we got to take. And after the callers, I want my panelists, my guests, to something you can share in 10 seconds. I think, we have enough time for that. Let me go to Nisi. Hello, Nisi. How are you doing? Calling from Los Angeles.
Hello, Ade. How are you?
Very well. What's your question or comment?
Okay, I have a comment, and it just comes from my personal experiences with beauty and how I grew up. Coming from a family that originated in they didn't originate there, but my family is from New Orleans, and so I don't know if people are familiar with the quadroon and the whole aspect of that, but my grandmother was Creole,
and very, very light-skinned, and my grandfather was very, very dark-skinned. And my grandmother's family disowned her because she married my grandfather. Not only was he dark-skinned, he was a jazz musician. So within that, we grew up within a family who differentiated dark and light skin within the family. I was also raised with some cousins for a time who inherited the light skin gene. I, of course, didn't, but I have a cousin who, she was much older than I when she told me, but she told me, I was 13 when she told me, and I was, you know, at 13, you're very aware or you're becoming aware of where you fit in as a female, as a person, where you're getting ready to go, whatnot. But she told me that I would never be married because I didn't have light skin. Mm-hmm. I was not thin, and I didn't have good hair. So I had three strikes against me.
Wow.
And it hurt me so bad. And self-healing in that aspect is so very important, because not only had I already been ingrained with the familial aspect of light skin, dark skin, but then she told me that. And so I was entering into the social realm as a teenager, I became more I became more self-conscious.
Okay.
of my appearance where I fit in, if boys would like me, or even if other girls, my peers, would accept me because of how I looked and whatnot. But Celeste brought up a very poignant part of this conversation when she related it to arts and how arts bring up our awareness or our consciousness about where we want to fit in or just who we are. You know, I am who I am, and that's it. Also, I'm not going to take. I would try to take it too much longer. If you ever listened to the poem when she spoke about art, it resonated because writing. I'm a writer, and it helps me to therapeutically sort out things that are going on with myself as well as the environment around me, and I'm reminded as well of a quote by Audre Lorde, who was a poet and writer and a black woman who defined herself as lesbian. And she said, if I didn't define myself for myself, I would be crunched into people's fantasies for me and eaten alive. So it's important that we define ourselves and not allow others, society, media, et cetera, to create those definitions.
Thank you, Nisi. Thank you so much. Yes, that's what it's about, self-definition. What are you really answering to? Let's go to Ambassador. Hey, Ambassador, how are you? Ambassador, we don't hear you. You mute yourself?
You know I did. You know I'm always muting myself.
Okay. All right.
Yes, indeed. Well, I want to firstly just thank each and every person. I didn't know what I was about to walk into, but I've walked into some real love here, and I really appreciate all the words. And I just wanted to say that, you know, the children are watching. And more than they're listening, they are watching the examples, and all of us. And I love the words that each person is sharing here. Monique, the whole idea of you saying that, you know, the 10-year-old, all of us has that child that's within us that is still constantly a work in progress until we leave here. That's what it will be, and it's such appreciation for all of us who decide that the real healing is the self-healing. The real healing is not outside of ourselves. No one else can do it for us. And as we decide that we're walking and not worrying about whether we're preaching to the choir, whether whomever, the fact is the truth needs no publicity. We just constantly share what it is that our stories are the most important stories. Those stories that we tell ourselves is the most important, the greatest stories ever told. So I want to give much thanks for each and every person that's listening that is taking that step into self-healing, because self-healing is the only healing, and the example that we show is what's going to change the resonance of this planet. So give thanks for everyone.
Amen.
Thank you, Ambassador. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Amen.
Wow. Okay, so let's take, 30 seconds to... I'm not going to ask you a question for the 30 seconds. I want you to share whatever's on your heart that you want to share, maybe something you want to speak on, maybe you think it's slightly off the topic, but it's important that I didn't ask you. So 30 seconds, and then also let our listeners know what you're up to, where they can find you. So I'm going to start with Kasemi.
All right. Wow. I want to thank the sisters for sharing your stories, Monique and Celeste, and also the sisters who called in. Wonderful. And also Brother Charlie for speaking up as well about your experiences as a black male and dealing with the issues here that you've been dealing with, that you had to deal with when you were younger and in your family. It's all been very enlightening, so I really appreciate it. And it just hearing someone else's perspectives always helps your own growth. So thank you. One of the things I'd like to say is just that I think that, as Monique and Celeste and Charlie have said, it really does come down to our own personal healing. That trumps all, because if we look at it and we try to say, okay, let's change the media, I believe we live in a patriarchal society. Let's change the patriarchal society. That's so huge. That's such a tremendous endeavor. And I think that the most effective thing is to start to affect your immediate environment, which, of course, begins with self. And I think that really is the key to it all. And I think that in that, there's the self-healing, and then, as I said as well, I think there is the educational component. I think it's very important that these younger generations understand the history of what has happened to us, because as I hear them talk, and as I hear them really even reflecting their art, I don't see a connection to what we've been through here in this country as black people. But that seems to be slipping away. So I think that we also need to continue to educate them on that as well, in addition to the self-healing.
Thank you. Thank you, Kasembe. Charlie, final words and how listeners can, where they can find you, and anything you're up to that you want to share. 30 seconds.
Real quickly, my name is spelled Charly Palmer. You can just go to my website, it's charliepalmer.com, and check out the art. But I want to say it's been a pleasure to be a part of this panel. It has been uplifting. It's been enlightening. It's been very informative. But I think what would be one of the most important things that I take from this is to be the light that the universe has created you to be. And if you do that, you're always going to be the example of love. And so you give that love, passing it forward. And it was, it's been a joy, man. Thank you for letting me be a part of this. And thanks to all the panelists. I've had a great time.
Thank you for saying yes. Let's go to Monique. What you're up to, final words, where people, listeners can find you.
First, I want to say thank you, Celeste and Ade and Kasembe and Charlie. And this is random, but it has been, what I'm going to share is sort of random. Lately, the last week, I've been in my spiritual practice reminding myself of how necessary I am. And what I do is I bring my awareness to the sun and then to the earth and how the earth is rotating on its axis. And as it rotates on its axis, it also spins
around the sun through this incredible atmosphere that has so much going on, and there is a perfection in it. And as that is happening, I am where I am, and I am needed right here as you are needed right there. Like, the things that I'm experiencing are necessary to create an energy and a vibration that keeps everything in the universe operating in harmony and balance. It is so amazing. It just says, Lord, have mercy. It's like the awe that I feel inside of me as I think of the significance of everything and every experience. And so what I'm reminded of is that nothing is out of place. Nothing is out of place. Everything is always to serve some greater good, even if that good is just to be here on the earth as it spins on its axis and rotates around the sun. It's really phenomenal. So thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you. And how can listeners find you?
They can't find me.
I mean, you're everywhere when you're present, and they can't find you. They find themselves, and they'll find you.
I love Facebook and Twitter. Monique Ruffin, you can find me there.
Okay. Thank you, Monique.
Thank you. I'm being silly.
Yes.
Yes,
I hear you. 30 seconds or less, and we know how listeners can find you, but go ahead.
Yes, but I'm not sure Kazembe let them know where they could find him, and as my dual role as a co-producer on this show with Yvette, thank you, Yvette, you can find Kazembe at KazembeTheHealer.com, and it's a quick note for myself. And it's a quick note for myself. I don't have biological children of my own, but I do have adoptive children. I also adopt all your children, too. So here's my recommendation. Get some children's books. Look up 25 empowering books for little black girls, and you can also check out Essence from Mother to Son, 10 books to read to our boys. It's really important to take care of our youth, and you are not too old for these books to lift you up to. And just remember that we are one. And thank you, Mbasa, for your loving words as well. And Miss Lady, for bringing some fire to the conversation.
Yes.
You can find me on the FSS Today Radio Show.
Thank you, Celeste. Thank you. I am so grateful for all of you, those of you that are calling, Kazembe, Charlie, Monique, Celeste, Ambassador, Miss Lady, Nisi, and those of you in the chat room who are sharing a lot that I just can't get to it. I'm multitasking. See, Celeste is on a panel, so she can't do half of the things she does. But thank you all. And, you know, for me, the last thing I would say is, if this show caused you to get in touch with the pain, the hurt that you forgot was there, I believe my job is done. I love you. I bless you. I appreciate you. And I thank God for you. Remember, we are one. This is Carly Jackson. We are one. And I'll see you tomorrow as we swim through the deep end of life. Peace and blessings.
Now do you see your... Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.